Welcome back to the Bet the Board podcast. The voice you're about to hear on the other line will be of that of Payne Insider, PayneInsider.com fame. Make sure you go to his website. Check out all the great sports betting information right at your fingertips. I'm your co-host, Todd Furman. You can find my work at ToddsTake.com. And Payne, we've almost completed week three of the NFL season, but arguably the most fascinating game of the entire weekend takes place tonight with the Jets, a 1.5-point favorite right now against the Bears. I'm not quite sure where to start talking about line movement and what we've seen over the course of the last 7 days here.
A lot of line movement in this game, and it's very interesting to be able to follow it, to be able to put all the pieces together. That's one great thing about this podcast, the wealth of information and knowledge, and basically it's important to know who's on what side, where the money's coming in, and at what numbers. And we saw early last week when this line opened, it opened Jets in that pick range, immediately sharp money on the Jets throughout that course of the week. Got as high as 3. We did see some professional buyback simply trying to side the game, middle of the game, with Jets pick, Chicago plus 3. Now today it's just been a steady flow of public money on Chicago, roughly 7.5 out of every 10 bets on the dog here.
Yeah, you talk about all that public money that's come into the market. Of course, a standalone game, books may or may not want to take a position here. It'll be fascinating to see where this number eventually goes. And you look at the differences out there. You've seen money lines as low as $1.15 to $1.20. It did peak at $1.50. And books, depending on the type of clientele they're electing to book to, using a number from 1 upwards of 2 here. I think it's important to discuss some of the injuries, mainly on the Jets side, as we look at the game. Dee Milliner listed as doubtful. Eric Decker, status very much up in the air. What do you make of those injuries for the Jets? And before we get into the Bears and talk about how nicked up they are on the offensive side.
You know, Dee Milliner is a guy that at this point doesn't look like the Jets can count on him. Missed a bunch of games last year. Came into the league with injury concerns. That's why his stock dropped in the NFL draft with that shoulder. So far, the secondary has been very good, and it helps when you have an elite front four and front seven like the Jets do have. And when you talk about Eric Decker, this is a guy, for me, more system-based out in Denver. I think his reputation precedes him a little bit. I don't think he's going to be a game-time decision. He's going to try to get out there, warm up. My feeling is he won't go, but I don't think he's very much, maybe half a point at the very, very most, if that. So I don't think it's a huge loss for the Jets if they don't have Decker.
And when you look at the Bears side, of course, they're receiving tandem a little bit banged up themselves with Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall. Assuming that these guys are going to go, both listed as questionable right now from all reports that I've heard, both about, you know, anywhere from that 70 to 80% range. Of course, there'll be key cogs attacking a Jets secondary, as you alluded to. The real matchup to watch will be that Jets defensive line trying to put pressure on Cutler without blitzing against this revamped Bears O-line.
Yeah, you nailed it. And I think that's more the Bears playing coy, similar to what they did last week on Sunday Night Football. I think you'll see Alshon Jeffrey in there. I think you'll see Brandon Marshall in there. The question becomes, if this game gets out of hand, looking ahead to their next matchup, do they yank them? So it'll be interesting to see. But I just think the Bears' offensive line is a mess, and so that'll be the key kind of matchup to look at, is that Jets defensive line versus Chicago offensive line. And I think, like we talked about, that look-ahead game next week to Green Bay for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that seems to be overlooked. I know the buzz in Chicago, most Bear fans said they would be shocked if they went out to the West Coast and beat the 49ers. Of course, now what a difference a week makes. They think it's a foregone conclusion that the Bears go into next week's game against Green Bay, sitting at 2-1. Before we leave this game, you look at the total, 45.5 down to 45. Not sure what to make there. And more importantly, Payne, what does your crystal ball say about where we'll see this number close for the Monday night game between the Bears and Jets?
Yeah, we have seen this number come down just a tick, open 45.5, down to 45. We know there's some sharp money on the under in the game. That tends to correlate with the Jets, in my opinion. I'm not sure where this total goes. Obviously, the public will be all over the over in this game. At some point here, despite the public being all over Chicago, I do think we'll see a little money line buy come in on this game on the Jets at some point closer to kickoff. I think a lot of the sharp guys are just positioning here, waiting to get the best, the optimal number on the money line. And we talked about it just a few minutes ago. This look-ahead spot for Chicago, to me, is huge. Next week, home against the Green Bay Packers, a team that went into Chicago last year, week 17, and knocked them out of the playoffs. That's a huge division game, a huge rivalry game. I think this is one maybe the Bears overlook a little bit.
Yeah, and of course, this is the part of the podcast where we're honest with our listeners, and I have to admit, we always preach taking the best of the number. I'm the Jamoke sitting out here laying $1.35 on the Jets' money line. Clearly, I should have waited till kickoff, could have laid $1.15. So you can either shame me on this podcast, or you can wait till we're off the air, whatever way works for you to make yourself feel better, Mr. Payne. I'm okay with either methodology.
If it gets to the window, the juice does not matter.
Wiser words never spoken. And when you talk about the juice, we may as well look at the games that just transpired yesterday as you go through some interesting scores, so to speak. Probably the one that jumps off the page the most to me, given the sharp money you saw on the dog. Cincinnati continuing to dominate ATS and straight up at home during the regular season, beating the Titans 33-7. Dalton looked good, but it was more the Titans' ineffectiveness on offense and defense to a large extent. Don't even want to get started on their special teams. But when you go through those results, anything really jump off the page or are potential learnings that we can take away and apply to any of the Week 4 matchups we're looking at?
Well, I think you nailed it with that Tennessee game. A little, maybe some heavy hearts there. They had a couple early possessions, could have converted field goals, didn't get it. Things started to snowball there. But when you move forward and kind of look at the board, one of the teams that I like to look at here is Detroit. I was very, very impressed with their secondary. It's a much maligned unit. It's a unit that doesn't seem to ever get upgraded via free agency or the draft, and that's always the largest question mark. But when you hold that offense of Green Bay on that surface to 7 points, very impressive there. So that was one thing that surprised me, and one thing to maybe look at Detroit. And this is a team that's been bought now 3 weeks in a row by the sharp guys. Week one against the Giants. Last week we saw, even though they didn't cash, a massive move towards the Lions there versus Carolina, and again this week. So Detroit seems to be a team that the sharp guys like this year.
Yeah, and it should be interesting as you talk about it. Detroit will draw the Jets next weekend. That number looks like it's the Jets -1. We'll call the consensus. Of course, only a handful of books have that price up. You can actually find Detroit listed as a 1-point favorite for that game as well. When you go through some of the other scores there, the Redskins find a way to get in the back door. Another one of the biggest moves from the professionals. That number got it as high as 7 early in the week. Did close 3.5. I know we talked at great lengths about the sharp position that was taken on Sunday night from some of the pros, backing the Steelers at 3.5. But more importantly, Payne, what do we make of the Jacksonville Jaguars at this point? Boat raced in their own building. They staked the Colts a 30-0 lead, and you saw a ton of money come in on the Jags that took that number from 7 all the way down to 5.5.
You know, I'm not really sure what to make of the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is a team that a lot of people had high hopes for this year. Season win total opens 4.5, got out as high as 5.5, and so far I just don't think Chad Henne's the guy. It looks like Bortles is inserted immediately this week. I think that's a positive. When you look at this number, 13.5, does it get to 14? We'll see what happens. But I think, you know, when you talk about this game with Bortles, I think he just gives them another element, another dimension. Chad Henne has been a below-average NFL starting quarterback, nothing more than a stopgap. And that's at best. So I think this is a big, big upgrade for the Jacksonville Jaguars, getting Bortles in there. There's a lot of weapons on the outside, young weapons be it, but I think there is some talent there. Really the key there is the depth and maybe some of their offensive line. So those will be the issues moving forward. But I think Jacksonville might be a team you look to buy here in the next few weeks.
A little tease there as we'll get into some of the look-ahead lines. Jacksonville, of course, has seen a major adjustment from what was projected in the middle of last week to the number actually being offered up at most books. For the trip out to the West Coast against the Chargers, that same Chargers team that absolutely buried them a season ago. You talked about Bortles and him getting a shot now. Of course, in Minnesota, we're going to see the start of the Teddy Bridgewater era as well. What do you make of the Vikings' power rating? I mean, they didn't look that good against the Saints, losing that game 20-9, but get a much more able-bodied foe, I don't even know the best way to say it, one that they can handle in their own building when they take on Atlanta this coming weekend. Of course, we saw the Falcons on Thursday night make the Tampa Bay Buccaneers look like they had the second coming of a varsity blues-esque defense led by Bud Kilmer.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Cassel isn't a world beater. I think he fills the position nicely. He knew the system. But really, he might be worth a half point at this stage in the game, maybe 1 point. But as Teddy Bridgewater gets acclimated to the NFL, I think it'll be an upgrade later in the season. Minnesota, big home field advantage over the last few years. I'm not sure the three sticks in this spot, but But I like Teddy Bridgewater. I think he brings hope for that organization. And one thing, when you kind of looked across the board this past week, we saw a pretty big move on Minnesota, not only full game, but once Bridgewater kind of went under center there, there was some sharp money on the second half line as well, taking Minnesota plus 3.5. So sharp guys definitely like Teddy Bridgewater. And again, it looks like they're going early on him to start to week four.
Yeah, what's interesting, too, about this Vikings team, I don't think they get enough credit, is actually how the defense is overachieved to start the season. They completely clamped down against the Rams week one. The result against the Patriots, a little misleading with turnovers and short fields. And then, you know, to go on the road in the Superdome against a desperate Saints team and hold Drew Brees and company to 20 points says an awful lot, if you ask me. One other game that, you know, I was a little bit surprised by the result. I know we talked at great lengths off air about it leading up to it, and you know, I feel like we should really dub the name of this part Dolphins Corner when you break down the team in your backyard. What do we make of Miami and I guess Kansas City on the other side? The Chiefs, you know, showing quite impressively with a 34-15 win down there in South Beach, although Miami did have a chance to cut this game, you know, and actually tie the game relatively late in the contest before things just sort of snowballed away from them.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City was 0-2, probably season on the line. They went into Miami with a great, great effort, got out early. For Miami, this is a team, and I hate to make that excuse because it's the NFL, everyone's beat up, but Miami is just so beat up. Right now, there's special teams with Dennis Hickey coming in and kind of just revamping this roster. And when you talk about the back end of a team's roster, it's typically your special teams players. He got rid of a lot of their best special teamers, and that's really coming to fruition the first couple weeks. Their special teams has been horrible. The issue at linebacker, with a captain in Jason Trusnik playing more snaps than ever, taking him off special teams. We saw in week two, 23 of the 29 Buffalo points came via special teams or set up by special teams. So that's one thing to look at. For Miami, to me, I know it's early in the season, but this trip to London is absolutely make or break for them. They have to win this game. It gets them to 2-2 before the bye week. Then you get Aaron Rodgers coming to town. And I know Miami is disappointed after the opening week win against the Patriots, now to be looking at a 1-2 record. So this is a must-win for them. And we talk about this look-ahead line. Before last week, Dolphins minus 7. Chris opens 3.5, a very, very short price. We see professionals coming in, grabbing that number. It's now up to 4.5, and I don't disagree.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the look-ahead lines, and just real quick, one last thing to wrap some of the things that we learned from this past weekend. Any other teams really jump off the page as either as pleasant surprises or real disappointments in week three for you?
I think you have to look at the San Francisco 49ers. This was a team that, again, came out pretty fast, up at halftime. You're facing Drew Stanton, a backup quarterback, and you just can't hold on to the lead. The defense looks like a mess again, just one sack without Aldon Smith. I think they're in some trouble. The secondary is not very good. And when you talk about a Drew Stanton-led team, 8 of 13 conversions on third down, San Francisco could just not get off the field. So San Francisco is a real disappointment to me. And again, that kind of just lends some credence to that Monday night game we talked about. How impressive is that Bears win now? So those are a couple of one team specifically that disappointed me last week.
Yeah, I think San Francisco has definitely been a disappointment. We'll be fascinating to see how they bounce back against the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles team this weekend. Niners have seen a little bit of money. That price did open 4, out to 4.5, although I'll contend that no matter how the season ends for San Francisco, we may see Coach Harbaugh along the sidelines at the Big House in Ann Arbor. But then again, this is an NFL-only podcast. We can save our conjecture on the college side for Twitter and other means. Just to kind of reset for everyone, the voice you hear on the other side of the line, that of Payne Insider. You can follow him on Twitter under that same name and check out his fine work at PayneInsider.com. I'm the co-host, Todd Furman. Find my work at ToddsTake.com or follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. Now, Payne, we talk about look-ahead lines all the time, and we go through some of these numbers. You hit on the Dolphins. Now, we're a 3.5-point favorite on the open at Chris, bet up to 4.5. Look-ahead had them as a 7-point favorite. Green Bay, another team. Green Bay listed at minus 3 on the look-ahead. Right now, if you're looking at the price before the Monday night game, you're seeing Pick'em widely available for their showdown against the Bears.
Yeah, this will be one game to monitor very closely. Chicago has a lot of revenge on their minds in this game, and I think if you like Chicago, you wait a little bit based on tonight's result. I hate to tip my hand on tonight, but based on tonight's result, what I think the result will be, I think you'll see Chicago open up a little bit shorter, and I think you'll see professionals gravitate towards the Bears at home. Just a big, big revenge game. Last season, at home, very simple. Win or get into the playoffs. Green Bay goes in there, beats them on that last play to Cobb. So I think this is a game they've had circled on the calendar the entire offseason. This is the first division game. It's time to, you know, make that nice little early season stamp. So I think that'll be something to look at. I'm not sure this sticks, but I think you'll see professionals on the Bears in week four.
Wouldn't shock me in the least. Definitely would be the angle that I would approach, assuming the result holds tonight, which we think it will, with the Jets being the right side in the Monday Night Showdown. Two games that have seen what we'll call a modest move, only because it's gone a point, but across key numbers. Texans on the look-ahead line were a four-point favorite, now only listed as a three-point favorite, albeit you have to lay about 20 to 25 cents, depending on the shop, for their home date against Buffalo. And then the Indianapolis Colts, now a seven-point favorite against the Titans. They were posted as a six-point favorite on the look-ahead lines. Either one of those matchups surprise you at all? You think we've seen an overreaction just on 1 week's worth of results?
No, I think those are pretty sufficient. I mean, Buffalo, to me, last week, it was a team that a lot of sharp guys were on. I was very hesitant. I'm not high on Buffalo. I think you saw week one against Chicago. The score probably not indicative of what happened on the field. Houston, just a train wreck in my mind. Giants were one of the biggest positions that we had. So I think this number feels right at three. Count some home field advantage. On the flip side, Tennessee, obviously a bad showing. I think they'll have a better showing this week. Must win for Indianapolis when you talk about that division and how they started 0-2. But again, if Indianapolis picks up this win, they're right back in the thick of things in that division. So not overly surprising for me with either of those lines based on how poor Tennessee played and how well Indianapolis looked. Not a game that I'm sure, we see some 7.5s now. It looks like it's trending that way. But come game time, I think we will see some professionals on Tennessee.
And from some of the smaller moves around key numbers to some of the larger moves on the look-ahead numbers, Steelers open up 8-point favorites. That number lasted for about 26 minutes. As you see them listed now as a touchdown favorite over Tampa, that number before Tampa's clinker on Thursday night would have been 6.5. The Chargers' price has ballooned from 9.5 all the way out to 13.5. Imagine books going to be in a tough spot come this weekend, needing to get Jacksonville money. My gut tells me the pros will probably oblige those wishes. And then the largest move, the Vikings, from a 1.5-point favorite on the look-ahead number to a soft 3-point home underdog there. We'll get to the Monday night game in a minute. Any of those moves really shock you in terms of what the books were forced to do, given how those teams looked?
I don't think it's a big shock, especially when you talk about some of those games that you alluded to. Atlanta, primetime spot, they hang 56. So I think that's kind of, and then you get the quarterback change. So I think that's probably, in my estimation, a little too big of a move, but I can understand why books did it. I think they'll be punished just a little bit here. I think you'll see some sharp money. Obviously grab Minnesota, and my guess is that closes below the key number. For Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, again, same situation. Tampa Bay was the team getting 56 hung on them in a primetime spot. Pittsburgh looked like they could not be stopped last night on Sunday Night TV. And I think what we will see, obviously, some professional money on Tampa early. It surprises me it came that early. It came on a Monday because I think that probably would have continued to get bet up. My guess is come Sunday, unless there's an absolute wave of professional money on Tampa, this will likely close around 7.5. I just think the public will be out in full force, shorter card. So I think Tampa's the side here. We got to check some defensive injury issues. But other than that, I'm not totally surprised, and I think Tampa will end up being the side there come Sunday.
Yeah, and you hit an interesting point before we get into the Patriots-Chiefs game about the market moving so much on Monday. I know this may be a little bit more technical than the casual listener expects on this podcast as we try and cover as many games as we can in a pretty tight time window. We're seeing a lot more money come in, and I guess the correct term that we should use for folks not familiar, true positions from the professionals on Monday. Does that surprise you that we've seen such a change in the betting markets this year versus years past, where typically you wait for these markets to mature, limits start to open up later in the week, and that's when the pros actually tip their hand in terms of the direction they're going?
The market's evolved, so it doesn't really shock me a ton. Obviously, they can't get a ton of money down. Monday, they are seems to be more true positions on Monday. They are setting a few games up and coming back later in the week, but they just want their money down on the game. It seems like there are, a number of professionals that you can kind of classify in different little segments. I believe this day and age, there are more guys out there that are betting $500, $1,000 bucks that are better than your recreational better, that can beat the market, that can win long term. And I think those are the type of guys that are affecting this market and forcing the groups to go earlier than they'd liked. This is the first season we've really, really seen this dramatic push towards going on Mondays. But I think as the market evolves, it seems to me that the groups are willing just to kind of take a stance and get a few dollars in the market at the best number and not let those numbers get absolutely decimated before Sunday comes.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a ton of these prices change. And, you know, last night's game, a prime example with the Steelers and Panthers, books did everything they could to try and hold that three, knowing that that was the side of the professionals. Public continues to come in hand over fist, and the sharper shops ended up closing -3, -130, which tells you an awful lot about the position they were willing to take. It makes you realize exactly what kind of money you had to see on the Redskins for that number to go from 6.5, 7 at the peak, all the way down to a close at 3.5 in. The more respected shops, and of course, those bettors were rewarded. The ones with the worst number had to sweat a little bit more than some of the pros, as that game fell right on three. The last look-ahead game, of course, I mean the Monday night game, and I know we'll talk about this a week from today in much greater detail. New England was listed as a 6.5-point favorite last week. Now you see them open as a 3.5, 4-point favorite for their trip to Arrowhead, one of the more daunting places to go on the road in the NFL, to take on a Chiefs team who finally showed a little bit of life and carryover from that game against the Broncos the week before.
Yeah, you see Kansas City, I think that the score ballooned in Miami. The final score really wasn't indicative of what happened on the field. I believe they were up 5 or 6 late, 21-15 in that area. And Miami had a 2nd-and-1 around midfield. They chose to pass the ball twice, didn't get it, and things ballooned from there. So I don't think that final score is really what happened. And then New England continues to struggle on offense. And it just looks like this number at 4 seems to be a better number than what we saw with the look ahead at New England -6.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think New England has some issues moving the ball offensively. I don't think it was necessarily a fluke how Oakland was able to keep that game close. I mean, we talked about the Raiders improving. Didn't think they'd be able to hold the Patriots to just 16 points in their own building, especially in a home opener. And I know we're getting a little bit long on time, so just real quick, you glance at the futures board and we see a handful of surprise teams at 3-0. Wanted to get your take if you think these teams are actually real contenders at this day and age, or pretenders. Arizona's number from 50-1 before the season, you've seen that price go down to 20-1. The Chargers nearly cut in half from 25 to 12. And of course, the Eagles from 25 down as low as 10, depending on where you look. Any of those teams you believe really going to be in the thick of things as we get deeper into the season? Of course, the Chargers, though, not undefeated. They're sitting at 2-1 on the early go.
You know, it's tough for me because I think these teams are hot when you talk about the Bengals and that current number. You know, you don't absolutely like buying at this position right now in my mind. Now, I know they're out to a 3-0 start, but it's 13-1 in that range. I think it's tough for me to get behind them right now. When you talk about San Diego team, a lot of the professionals like before the start of the season. They made the playoffs last year, so I don't think it's a huge shock at 15-1 in that area. Philadelphia looks like a front runner now for this division with their 3-0 start. So obviously the start has impacted the futures market, and I hate to really invest at this point on these teams. So I think maybe you'll look for maybe that underlying team in the division that right now hasn't stood out. And, you know, we're pretty high on Kirk Cousins. So when you talk about the NFC East, maybe that's a team that you'll look at. So that's the thing for me in the futures market. I know a lot of these teams started hot, but not anyone that I'm going to invest in at their current prices right now. Arizona off to a hot, hot start. This looks like a team that's for real. I know they've lost a lot of pieces on defense, but they start to get some of those pieces back. In that 30-1 range, maybe worth an investment right now, especially how poor San Francisco looks.
Yeah, I think that being the key note there, when you talk about the division, and I'll make the case that even Seattle looks a little bit vulnerable. Of course, they were able to come away with a hard-fought win against Denver. Not sure they're the same elite football team right now. Then again, you never want to hit the panic button. We're only 3 weeks into the season. I really thought for a second you were going to make a strong case for the Dallas Cowboys at 50-1, and I was going to have to disconnect you entirely from this podcast.
Not ready to jump in on the Cowboys just yet. Another decent defensive performance in the second half of that game. But when you talk about the big game, the Super Bowl rematch from Sunday, Seattle and Denver, I know there's no bonus points or internal victories for losing, but Denver has to be happy with how they showed. I think their defense gets acclimated to the new additions and probably gets better throughout the course of this season. They really made a lot of these off-season acquisitions to beat one team, and that was the Seattle Seahawks, and they weren't able to do it. Seattle, for me, they were up. They were in control of that entire game. To me, it felt like they fell asleep a little bit at the wheel. They went really conservative. When they had to go get that touchdown in overtime, they were super aggressive. It looked like the Seattle team we were used to seeing. So it's tough for me to gauge that game, but I was pretty impressed with the Broncos despite the losing effort.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you say, you want to try and take as much away from these games as you can. You never want to overreact. You also don't want to underreact to teams that look actually worse than what you anticipated. But I was impressed. I left that game feeling very impressed with Denver and their ability to play a physical football game in a hostile atmosphere, clearly cementing their status as front runners in the AFC. One last thing before we leave these fine listeners until we reconvene on Thursday. Some will say this is the most valuable part of the podcast. Others will contend it's when we actually shut our mouths and finish things up. But games to look at now, if you're looking to try and bet into these markets early, a game or two, not to give everything away, that you think may move in a certain direction that some of those listeners who want to get out ahead of the market should probably look to invest in.
Yeah, I think we nailed it there with Teddy Bridgewater and the Minnesota Vikings. I don't believe that three lasts long. And we saw a lot of the 4.5s leaving the Kansas City Chiefs on that Monday night game. So I think those are probably two games you might want to look at if you like those sides and wanted to go early.
Yeah, I would definitely echo your sentiments on Minnesota. Of course, as I'm watching my odds screen right now, looks like if you want to take that three, you have to lay $1.25. Don't be shocked if that number is 2.5. Payne, always a pleasure, my friend. Good luck on the Monday night game, and look forward to doing this again on Thursday.
Sounds good, bud. Enjoy the game tonight.
As always, that's Payne Insider. You can find his work, PayneInsider.com. I'm your co-host, Todd Furman. Best of luck with whatever selections you make, not only for the Monday night game or all games moving forward, and hopefully we'll see you at the window.